Welcome to the Arlene Pelican Podcast. How would you like to sign up for more energy and a younger look? Yeah, me too. Well, on today's program, we're going to talk about being a younger you. How can you rejuvenate your heart and mind? You'll find out how to live with more joy today and every day. Thanks so much for joining me for the podcast. I had the pleasure of speaking with Harvest House authors Kathy Lipp and Cindy McMiniman. We did a conference called Desire, and during that conference, I gave a workshop on 31 Days to a Younger You. I wanted to share this workshop with you because we're headed into a new year, and this is a fantastic opportunity not to think, oh no, another year is coming and I'm getting older, but instead to think, oh, another year is coming, I'm getting better, I'm getting wiser, I'm going to do some new things this year to become younger, more alive, more vibrant. So that's what this workshop is for. So listen in, and I hope you will enjoy being a younger you. My husband James and I, we've been married for 12 years, and we got a package in the mail from Amazon, and that's always fun when you get a package in the mail from Amazon and you don't know what it is. And he said to me, oh, sweetheart, it's for you. I got something for you. I was like, oh, that's so great. And I ripped open the envelope, and I found this. Stronger legs and lower body. And that is when the fight began, ladies. I said, this? 124 exercises and drills for power and performance. Thanks, dear. What I really wanted was, but I was afraid to ask. You know how you get the vacuum cleaner sometimes, or the mixer, or, you know, whatever it is? Well, I usually get some kind of exercise package from my husband, who says to me, you know what, sweetheart? It really means a lot to me when you do your best to stay fit, and I want to help you to do that. Now, before you think my husband is a terrible, terrible man, I have to tell you that I'm from Chula Vista, so I had a little bit of a drive this morning. He was up that early. The rules would have been reversed, I would have been asleep, I assure you, on a Saturday. He was awake, he helped me get my things ready, he put my books in the car, he left a note for me inside the car telling me how much he appreciated me. So this is the kind of guy this is, so I don't want you to have the wrong thoughts about my dear James. But James, believe it or not, is a lot of the reason of why I want to look and feel younger. I turned 40 this year, I've got a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old. I've got a wonderful husband, and I want to be able to be young for them. I don't know about you, but when I was 20, 60 sounded really old to me. Now that I'm 40, 60 sounds pretty young to me, you know. So when my children graduate from high school, they go to college, I want to be able to do things with them. So that is a lot of my motivation. And for each of you sitting in this room, you have a motivation too of why you want to look and feel younger. And as you tap into that motivation, it's going to give you the power you need to make the good decisions so that in the days ahead, you can, instead of feeling like the Target lady that I met, there was a woman in Target last Christmas, and I was with my daughter. She was 1 at the time, and you'll have to come back to the table to see her picture. Her hair stuck straight up, like she put her finger in the light socket, and she just had that hair that just like a rooster, just was this big old crown. She was the cutest thing in the world. And we're in Target, and I'm pushing the cart, and there's Lucy, and she's in the cart, and this other mom comes towards me, and she said, it all goes downhill from there. And I thought, you know, you're just kind of in your shopping mode. She said, I think that woman just told me with my little baby, it all goes downhill from there. And her kids, elementary school kids, were following her, you know, as she's saying this. And I thought to myself, if I was quicker, I would have turned to her and said, oh, no, ma'am, you know, I have older children, and I found they just get more and more fun as the years go on. Will you have a good time shopping? You know, that I wish I could have said something like that to her, but there are so many, it all goes downhill from there, right, kind of ladies all around us. They tell us, you know, if you're a parent, they tell, oh, wait till junior high. They'll get all weird on you. And then in high school, they'll hate you. And in college, they'll just milk you for money. And then when they grow up, they'll come back. You know, there's always something terrible looming around the corner. And those kinds of thoughts, those are the things that age us quickly. And if we can, instead of being like that Target mom, it all goes downhill from here, if instead we can say, you know what, the best is yet to come. every year I'm learning more. Every year I'm growing. I'm having more life experience. My relationships are getting deeper. I'm getting healthier. I'm learning new things. If we can say that, then we approach the decades to come with great confidence and peace and excitement even. So that is my challenge to you, to say, I'm not going to be like the target mom, but I'm going to say the best is yet to come. Well, the first area that we're going to look at is our heart. Our heart. Because a lot of times the magazines, you know, all it is about the body, right? You just have a glossed over look. And I promise, anybody can look like that with Photoshop. You know, anybody, their hair can be done, their wrinkles can be taken out, their tummies can be tucked. I mean, anything can happen to go on the cover of a magazine. So we know, as real life, breathing people, that's not how life is. We want to be really authentic people, and we know that the beauty first starts in the heart. That it's not about, oh, I went shopping, and I got my makeup done, I did this. It's like, that's all secondary. The primary thing that we need to concern ourselves is with our hearts. When my husband and I were first dating, you know what that was like. When you're first courting that person you love so much, and we would just gaze in each other's eyes for hours at a time. Now, I met him in graduate schools, which means that I went through high school, no dates. College, no dates except some my senior year. Then worked for 4 years, no dates. I mean, talk about desperate measures. You know, now I look at it, I think, big deal. I was in my 20s. But then it was like, where is he, you know? So in graduate school, my late 20s, I finally found him, my James. And we'd look at each other in our eyes, and he said to me, do you know when I look in your eyes, do you know what I see? I said, what? He said, AV. Your contact lenses say AV. But I thought to myself, how cool that someone is gazing so intently in my eyes that they can see my contacts say the letters AV. And this is what courtship is like, right, ladies? You gaze, you enjoy, you look. So it was in one of these AV moments that we were sitting together, we were not yet engaged, and he said to me, Arlene, there's something I really want to tell you, but I'm kind of having a hard time of knowing how to say it. Oh, well, you know, you can tell me anything. Go ahead. Well, you have these hairs on your upper lip. Have you ever thought of electrolysis? Okay, you know those moments, it all time stops. I'm just thinking like, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed and mortified, and all of a sudden I think I've got like all these things coming on my face. And so, oh, you know, I never really considered that. Why do you ask, you know? And to tell, I was speechless. I did not know what to say. I was not like a glamour gal. I did not know what electrolysis was. I didn't know how you get it. I didn't know what it cost, if it hurt. I didn't know. And he just said, well, you know, you've got these little hairs, and they can remove those hairs off your upper lip. And I think that would just be great. Okay, well, I'll do my best. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, how could he say that? How embarrassing, and how dare he say something so embarrassing to you? And do you know, when I got home, the first thing, of course, I did was run in. It was a short date, you know. I was like, I gotta go home, you know. So I went home, and I looked in the mirror, and there they were, all the little hairs, you know. And it's very funny, in my memory, I say, oh, there were little hairs sticking out. And my husband, James, is like, oh, sweetheart, please. They were like a little mini mustache you had, you know, at the top of your thing. So you know how we remember our history? You know how we have the his version and the her version? Well, I made an appointment to have this electrolysis done. And I had it done. I had the hairs taken off my lip. And when I did that, without a fight, we didn't go. Because I thought to myself, you know what? He's right. I have hairs on my upper lip. And I can do something about that, so I'm going to go do something about that. And if it, you know, obviously, maybe that was the problem all those years. I don't know. You know, so, if, you know, I had gone through my life just fine with it, but apparently it meant something to him. So I will do this because it means something to this person I'm growing to love. Well, this communicated volumes to him. He said, when we didn't have to fight about it, and when you did it, he's like, it showed me, like, I can marry this woman. This is him telling me later, because he said, if I cannot tell this girl about this, how can I marry her? Like, then that means I couldn't tell my wife something honestly that I wanted to say, to ask, you know, would you consider doing this? And if I am not free to do that, how could I potentially consider marrying you and having children with you if I can't even talk to you about the hair on your lip? And it really taught me such a great lesson of when people bring correction into your life, ooh, it hurts, doesn't it? It's uncomfortable. It's like, oh, I don't want to be corrected about that. I don't see anything in the mirror, you know? You don't want to be corrected about these things. But if the correction comes from a loving source, not miscritical that's, you know, always nagging you at every corner, but from a trusted source, and you hear the correction and it irritates you because it probably rings true. Isn't it true that the things that kind of rub you the wrong way, you realize that's because they're right, you know, it's true. Those kinds of things, if we can have a soft heart to accept criticism, to accept correction when it's given, and the humility of accepting correction, it makes such a difference in your life of how teachable you are, whether that's towards God, as God corrects us and we have a soft heart, we say, okay, Lord, I see that. Help me to correct me about that. Whether it's from our spouse, you know, the Lord knows we have a hard time taking those corrections from our spouse, and maybe vice versa. And yet that person, if we have a husband, has been given such a window of understanding. Who else knows you better, you know, than your husband? And he's able to speak into your life, to enjoy that, to take that as a privilege. To our children, you think, hey, I wiped your bottom when you were younger. I'm not taking advice from you. And yet, many times, your children, whether they're 2 or whether they're 42, they have something really great to speak in your life. So that first note there is about your heart. And you'll see it says, pluck without pain. I had to get the little hairs plucked out of my lip. Pluck without pain. How do you do that? How do you have things plucked out of your life? There might be something in your life right now that is standing in the way of you and a dream that you have. It might be a bad habit that you have. It might be a way you communicate with your spouse or with your children that's really holding you back. It might be something you want to achieve something at work, but you're really having a hard time with the coworkers. You're fighting a lot, and there's not an ability to get a promotion. There might be something in your life you've got to take out, something you've got to give over to God. And the way that you pluck without pain is by praying for it, by asking the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom in this area and give me a softness of heart so that even if someone says something as offensive as you have hair on your upper lip, you know, whatever it is that's said to you, that you could, with a soft heart, respond to it. Now, this might not happen automatically. You're here listening, you think, oh, that's great. Okay, next time I have a problem, I'm going to have a soft heart and I'm going to be open to correction. But when you are in the heat of that moment, your heart is not going to feel soft. You are not going to feel open to correction. So you know yourself best. Maybe it means that you need to say, okay, I know I need a little half-hour getaway between me and God. Because you know that when you get just between you and God and you start saying or writing down the things that you're feeling, He talks to you. And He, in that moment with Him, can do more than hours and hours and hours, you know, of worrying about something, etc. So take it to the Lord. Pray about it. Ask God to make your heart soft. He can do in a moment what we can't do. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So first step is do not be anxious about anything. Okay, Lord, help me not to be anxious. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You know, God, this person is driving me crazy at work, or this person is driving me crazy at home. Help me. Show me what to do. Is there something in my life that I need to change in order to be more receptive to this person? And then, Lord, I believe that that peace of God, like the scripture tells us, that transcends all understanding, will guard my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Some of us might have to pluck out a critical spirit. I'm so proud of my husband because he is highly opinionated. And 99.9% of the time, his opinions are correct. But you may be married to a highly opinionated person, or you may be a highly opinionated person, and you know how that can rub against you the wrong way. And I remember, you know, times where I just thought, like, man, why are you so critical? And then I realized, well, you're really wired to see the world differently. And if you actually said everything you saw that needed fixing, you would be like a lot more. So you actually exercise a lot of self-control, honey, you know. So to realize that, you know, the way we see life is so important, that attitude to keeping younger. One of the things you might need to pluck out is a critical spirit. Maybe it's not you, it's a friend, you know, who has that critical spirit. But I talk about here in the book, nothing saps joy and vitality like a critical spirit. Two ladies could be sitting next to each other in the same church service. One lady will walk away smiling and refreshed, thinking about all the things she learned and the wonderful people she spoke with. The other lady leaves annoyed, wondering why when the pastor will ever come up with a decent sermon and why the people in the congregation are so shallow. A critical spirit is an obsessive attitude of criticism and fault-finding. A woman with a critical spirit loves to complain and is usually upset about something. Unlike constructive criticism, which seeks to help others face-to-face, a critical spirit tears others down behind their backs. Locate a woman who is constantly judging and frowning, and you'll find a woman who looks 10 years older than she really is. Psalm 119, 111, and 112 says, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees on the very end." When you set your heart to obey the Lord, the whatever, like Kathy Lipp said, be God's whatever girl. When you set your heart like that, you are going to live a young and vital life. It's impossible not to. When your heart is right before the Lord, you're soft towards the Lord, you're going to have that experience. So heart, pluck without pain. And next time you hear something that makes you a little uncomfortable, I want you to remember my upper lip. And I want you to remember that plucking things out of your life can be a good thing. Might not feel like it at the moment, but the end result is very good. The second area I want to look at is your mind. Now, you know, as people grow older, what do they say? Oh, I'm losing my mind. Oh, I can't remember things. I used to be able to remember. I can't remember anymore. We were at the San Diego County Fair, and my husband and I, we love to go. We love to see the latest gadgets. And, you know, if I just see a salesperson for 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, we need to buy that, dear. So he knows, don't let her watch the sales presentations because she is a sucker. So, you know, we're at the Del Mar Fair, and my husband was passing by, and he said out loud, "Where are my glasses? I can't find my glasses." And a woman just passing by said, "They're on your head." You know? And there they were, sitting on his head. I was like, "Oh, yeah, dear, look, they're on your head." And, you know, we feel sometimes like we are losing our minds. Like, we cannot find this. You know, when was the last time you went into your house? You're like, "Where is that form? I know I had that paper around here somewhere. Or I know I bought that birthday gift, but I hid it in the closet so well 6 months ago that I can't find it now, you know. Or I know I did this, but I just cannot find it," okay? Well, I interviewed people for the book, 31 Days to a Younger You, to find out how can you work with that. You know, they say that your mind, after about 30, starts declining. But the good news is, I know. But the good news is your brain, like a muscle, can be worked. And that can be reversed. So you got to think of your brain doing some exercises and how are ways that our brains can do exercises. Well, one of the ladies I interviewed, Marcia Ramslin, she is an organizational whiz. She is the organizing pro. And she said, you know, as people get older, they think, oh, I'm just losing it. I'm losing my mind. But she said, it's actually not that. It's just that you don't have a good system and you're not organized and you don't know where things go. So some of it may just be thinking, what are the problems that I keep having? I'm losing my keys. I'm losing these papers. I'm losing whatever. And don't think to yourself, because we have this little self-talk that we say, oh, I'm getting older, I'm just losing my mind. Don't do that. Say, okay, I can't find my keys again. So I need either someone to help me. You probably have an organized friend, someone who is naturally organized, like it just runs through their blood. I don't have anyone like this in my family, but someone you know that can come alongside you and help you. Say, okay, here's what we should do. Let's put the keys here. Let's hang them by the door every time. So you never have to wonder where they are. They're always going to be here unless they're in the car or unless they're in your purse. And they go, oh, you know, there's only a few places they could be. So to know that your mind problem may not be like a, ooh, losing it kind of problem, but it's, I need to get organized, I need to get control, I need to get help in these areas. So under number two, mind, I want you to write the word feed. Feed your brain. Feed your brain. And feed your brain with good, healthy food. You know, a lot of times we veg out on things, whether it's television, whether it's YouTube, whatever it may be, something that we know is not really fruitful for our minds. And you can kind of think of that as mental candy. Like, that's good to have once in a while, but you don't want a steady diet of mental candy. You need to have good, nutritious things for your brain to feed on. So, of course, the Bible would be one of those things. Good conversations with friends would be another. So think of, okay, I'm actually feeding my brain. What are things that I can do to feed my brain well? There was a man named Harry Lorraine, and he wrote a book at, I want to say he was in his 70s probably when he wrote this. And the book is called Ageless Memory, Simple Secrets for Keeping Your Brain Young. Wouldn't that be nice if your body could age, but your brain could stay nice and young? Because isn't that what you want? You want to have presence of mind all the days of your life. Perhaps it's true, he writes, that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's dogs, not people. I agree with Benjamin Franklin, who wrote, "No one is ever too old to learn. I try to learn something new every day. I sure tried to learn something new when I decided to get involved with computers when in my 70s. I was interested, enthusiastic to learn, and certainly curious to see what everyone was talking about. You need to set up some mental push-ups." So I want you to ask yourself now, what are some mental push-ups I have in my life right now? Do I have things that challenge my brain? And these things may be already things that are in your work and different things, but maybe you're pretty much on autopilot because our work tends to be fairly routine. Our daily habits tend to be routine. So I want to encourage and challenge you to dream up ways to shake up your routine, to get your mind going so that you can do some of those mental push-ups. So you might say, okay, what are some ways that you could do that? I have some friends who are retired doctors, and they're very, you know, they're precise people. You know, they're doctors. They're professional. They're you know, you have that air about them. And do you know what they did? They moved all the furniture out of one room of their house so they could learn to dance. So they take dance lessons and they dance in their living room all the time. I think this is fantastic. So doing things that are different, out of your routine, out of your comfort zone, something maybe that you've loved, that you've wondered about, but that you want to do, that you want to try. I have a sister-in-law who lives in Virginia. She's a math teacher for junior hires. I mean, you know, she needs a mental break once in a while. So she picked up glass blowing for a season. She went to a glass blowing class. She learned how to blow glass. And then when she traveled to Italy and saw all the glass blowing, she understood it a lot more because it was something she was interested in. So that was a fun thing for her to do. Something that you can do that's so simple is just kind of a everything different day. And you could do this with your kids, you could do this with your husband, you could even do it with your coworkers, and just say, I'm just going to do things different today. So for instance, I'm going to open the door. If I'm right-handed, I'm going to open the door with my left hand. If I drive a certain way to work, I'm going to drive a different way to work. If I always go to this place for lunch, I'm going to go to a different place. If I always bring my lunch, I'm going to go out. If I usually take a walk, I think I'll take a jog instead, whatever it is. Like, just do things different because we're so used to routine. And isn't it true that it's the mundane, those mundane moments in life, those are when you just feel like, blah, I'm just in this, everything's the same, and you just need something to mix it up. I have a book coming out in the summer that's called 31 Days to a Happy Husband. What husbands need from their wives. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And I interviewed men to find out, you know, what is it that your wife does that you just absolutely love, couldn't live without? Well, one man, he's my pastor from when I was a child, and he and his wife have been married for 58 years. And I hadn't been in touch with them for maybe 30 years, you know, because I've moved from my childhood home. And when I talked with him, he told me about how he took his wife on their 58th anniversary to the Eiffel Tower. I was like, whoa, Pastor Cole, you did that? And he was teaching in Brussels, and he realized, well, we're already there. We can take the bullet train to Paris, and we can celebrate our anniversary on top of the Eiffel Tower. And he said, Arlene, you only have so many Eiffel Tower moments in your life, but when you have them, they're so special that you'll never, ever forget them. And we mentally must picture and dream up the I can hardly wait in our lives. The things in our life that we so look forward to doing. I can hardly wait to do this. I can hardly wait. That's what I think our society needs, is that dream of, oh, I'm going to be married 58 years. I'm going to sit on top of an Eiffel Tower. I'm going to get to look forward to something. You know, and that's a beautiful picture of marriage, to show that marriage doesn't, you know, you don't just coast and, hey, we made it together. But it's really meant to be much more than that. And the same is true of our lives. We weren't just meant to, you know, let's go through this. We were meant to really thrive. So by doing things different, yeah. So for me, it's cooking. That's my difference. Some of you guys are great cooks. For me, it's like, this really a challenge. And I don't understand. My mom cooks, my grandma cooks, but I am an assembler. I assemble things, I grill things, and I reheat things. I can do that. So when I turned 40, I was like, this is pitiful. I'm a mother, I'm 40, and I can't do this. I have got to learn to do this. So I picked up this book at Barnes & Noble's because I saw it on the clearance rack, $2, once a month cooking. And it tells me, right, the things to cook, and then I freeze it. And so I did this. I did 4 hours of cooking 2 weeks ago. And I put things in the fridge. It was very liberating. So my sweet husband, the second night, you know, he gets this meal out of the oven. He's like, sweetheart, what's going on, you know? And I learned, I can learn a new thing. Even though I haven't done this, I can learn this. And whatever it is that you're thinking, oh, I'd like to do it, but I'm not sure, just do it. Learn that new thing. Do the thing that you're desiring to do. It could be something as little as keeping a dictionary by where you have breakfast, and for 1 week, you learn a new word every day. It's just something different. Didn't cost you a penny. I mean, you can do it online. It doesn't cost you a thing, but you're learning something new.
Well, on the next podcast, you will hear the rest of this message, and I will be addressing the body. We've talked about our hearts and our minds, and next time it'll be time for the body, and I will share what my mom finally decided to do for exercise after decades of never stepping into a gym. So you won't want to miss that. And I want to let you know, if you're looking for a gift, 31 Days to a Younger You, no surgery, no diets, no kidding, has some great chapters for you and your girlfriend. One chapter is even called Laugh and Eat Chocolate, which is a really fun thing to think about during the holiday season. But of course, there are other chapters too, like You've Got to Move It, and that kind of goes along with the chapter I just told you about. I'm Arlene Pellicane, author of 31 Days to a Younger You, no surgery, no diets, no kidding. Remember, ladies, the best is yet to come.